Welcome, everyone. Today we're doing a focused exploration, looking closely at Brother Steve's message from this past Sunday, September 14th.
That's right. It was delivered at New Life Benson, titled, Happy Are the Peacemakers.
And our goal today, really, is to pull out the key insights from that sermon. We want to discuss what this message means for us, you know, as Christians trying to navigate the world we're in right now.
Which often feels... well, pretty challenging.
It does. And Brother Steve, he actually started his message by remembering Charlie Kirk. He spoke about his legacy.
He mentioned Kirk's God-given fruit, I think was the phrase, and how he used his platform. It set a certain tone right from the beginning.
A reflective one. He then offered this statement, sort of a spiritual truth, he said, that all death can do to the believer is deliver him to Jesus.
Which is a powerful perspective, isn't it? It immediately lifts your eyes to the eternal, emphasizing that ultimate security we have.
It really does. It shifts the focus.
And it ties into that broader theme of discipleship that kind of ran through the whole sermon.
Thinking about that opening and then the theme of peacemaking, it feels incredibly relevant today. You look around, and disagreement seems to escalate so quickly.
Oh, absolutely. The tension is, well, you can feel it. So the call to be a peacemaker, it feels more urgent than maybe ever before.
Brother Steve seemed to address that directly, too. He asked a pretty pointed question.
He did. He asked if Charlie Kirk could be considered a martyr, someone who suffers or dies for their beliefs.
And he tied that to this observation that, well, disagreement today often leads to actual conflict, doesn't it?
It certainly can, which, as he said, makes studying what it means to be a peacemaker really essential for us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, a nice idea, but vital.
He also mentioned he's involved with Turning Point's pastoral group.
Yes, and he asked for prayer for the Kirk family and the organization. It gives a bit of context to his starting point.
And then he brought up the spiritual principle, one that really stood out to me. Persecution comes purity.
That's a tough one, isn't it? It sort of pushes against our desire for comfort.
It does. But it suggests that refinement, that growth, often happens right in the middle of hardship.
Exactly. He pointed to the early church, how its purity was often, you know, forged in intense persecution.
And he wasn't just saying that as a history lesson.
No, not at all. It was a message for us today, a reminder to be, as he put it, up to the task at hand.
It challenges us to think differently about difficulties, maybe see them as opportunities for, well, a deeper faith.
A more authentic faith, absolutely. It's quite countercultural.
So from that foundation, he moved into the main teaching, Matthew 5, verses 9 and 10.
Right. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
And then verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
And you could tell this was part of a larger series he's been doing. He quickly recapped the previous points.
Yes, the meaning of peace righteousness. The menace to peace sin.
The maker of peace, God, and the messengers of peace, that's us.
Which led perfectly into what he called the merit of peace.
And this is where that extraordinary promise comes in.
Being called a son of God, that phrase carries so much weight.
It really does. And he highlighted the specific Greek word used there, hyos.
Not tenon, which also means child.
Right. Hyos, he explained, carries this sense of dignity, honor, a mature standing. It's not just being a child, but being recognized as a true heir, reflecting the Father's character.
He said it identifies us as people of character, people of quality.
Mm-hmm. And he made it personal, didn't he? Saying his own heritage was basically nothing compared to this divine identity.
That really emphasizes the value, but it also brings a challenge.
The implication being, if you are truly a son of God,
you will be a peacemaker. It's part of the identity.
Yes. But then, thankfully, he brought in that dose of reality.
Oh, the double-double story.
Right. At the fast food place, he admitted he wasn't exactly a model peacemaker in that moment when his order was wrong.
It's good to hear that honesty. It reminds us, like he said, we all fall down.
It's what you do when you get back up. That's the key. We're not expected to be perfect, but to keep striving towards that calling.
And he clarified, too, that only God can ultimately designate who his children are.
Yes. And that future tense in shall be called, he pointed out, that signifies an eternal identity, a continuous future, he called it. It's not temporary.
Once you're in for eternity. That's incredibly reassuring.
It is. And it links to his point about outward symbols versus inward reality.
Right. The difference between just, say, wearing a cross and actually opening your mouth to be a true peacemaker. It's about action and embodiment, not just display.
He then listed those seven characteristics from Jesus about being a son of the kingdom.
Which really flesh out what that looks like in practice. You remember them?
Let's see, being poor in spirit, mourning over sin.
Mm-hmm. Being meek before God, hungering and thirsting for righteousness.
Right, experiencing God's mercy and wanting to extend it.
Possessing a purity of heart that, you know, recognizes sin and is repelled by it. And finally, cultivating that desire to be a peacemaker.
Quite a list. It describes a deep heart transformation.
It really makes you think of someone like the Apostle Paul.
Absolutely. From Saul the persecutor.
To Paul, the chief peacemaker, who still called himself the chief of sinners.
His life is just an incredible picture of what happens when someone truly embraces these conditions. It's about God's grace transforming someone completely.
And that transformation flows from God's incredible love for us.
Yes. Brother Steve really emphasized that. God loving us with his entire being more than he loves his creation.
And that we're wrapped in it through Jesus Christ. It's not a distant love.
No, it's all encompassing. He used that image of being the apple of God's eye.
Which he explained isn't just a saying. The pupil, the apple of the eye, is the most vulnerable, sensitive part.
And that story about Greg Darden, the athletic director who lost an eye.
And how he instinctively protected his remaining eye. That really drove home God's protective, cherishing love for us.
It's such a powerful illustration. And it's biblical, too. Psalm 17:8.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Zechariah 2:8.
He who touches you touches the apple of his eye. It shows God takes it personally when we're harmed or attacked.
Intensely personally. It's a strong affirmation of how much we matter to him.
It's something to really hold on to, especially in difficult times. He even tied this back, briefly, to the discussion about Charlie Kirk.
Suggesting that out of defeat comes victory, pointing to the growth of Turning Point after his death, more members, donations, pastors.
Right, proposing that maybe God's irritation, as he put it, when his children are touched, can lead to an unexpected outpouring of blessing.
It's a way of seeing God working even through tragic events. He also mentioned other ways God shows his cherishing love.
We are his jewels from Malachi.
Precious, valuable. And he puts our tears in his bottle for Psalm 56.
Which refers to that old custom of collecting tears, remembering deep sorrow. It shows he sees and cares about our pain.
And even our death is precious in the sight of the Lord from Psalm 116. He cares for us right to the very end and beyond.
It all just affirms, doesn't it, that we really matter to God.
Immensely. As his princes, kings, priests. His excellent ones from Psalm 16.
He used that lovely image, too, of sitting in Father God's lap like his granddaughter Viviana sits with her ma.
Just that sense of total acceptance, security, and care. It's beautiful.
So being a child of God comes with these incredible benefits. He listed quite a few.
He did. God bears our weakness, forgives our sin, accepts our imperfect service.
Provides our needs, shields us from danger, reveals his truth.
Forgives continually. Makes us heirs, works all things for our good.
Preserves us and gives us heaven. It's just an overwhelming picture of his grace.
It truly is. A comprehensive picture of his love and purpose for us.
And then building on that, the sermon shifted to Pam's testimony, which was incredibly moving.
Her struggle was so raw. Battling spiritual attacks, those autoimmune diseases.
And those whispers from the enemy, why do you keep fighting? You're not doing anything useful. That feeling of worthlessness.
So many people can relate to that kind of spiritual battle, but God's response to her.
So direct, so powerful, you're not done yet.
And there's somebody I want you to meet.
Her journey from really resisting that to finally accepting it and then meeting the man who became her husband, it's just a stunning testament.
It really is. A testament to God having a plan, even when we feel completely finished or useless, he still has purpose for us.
And that song he mentioned, You're Not Done Yet, captured it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Those lines. This broken world tries to break my heart and asking, oh Jesus, why won't you take me home today?
So relatable, but the answer comes back. God has more for you to do. There's so much good in store.
It shifts the perspective from despair to purpose. How our own struggles can actually help others.
The song of your sorrows can be the anthem to help another spirit's rise.
Wow. And your smile for a stranger can help them wipe the tears from their eyes.
It gives such practical meaning to how we live out our faith, doesn't it? It answers that question. How do we make a difference in this dark world?
It really does. Through simple acts born out of our own journey, empowered by God's love.
Our love is like a beacon. The light we shine can bring more hearts to me, meaning to Christ.
It's a beautiful picture of witness. And Brother Steve finished with that challenge, particularly aimed at the men in the congregation.
To be strong witnesses, not timid. To love people who don't believe yet.
And show them the truth through Christ, actively being those peacemakers. It's not passive.
Definitely not. It's an active calling. So this whole message, it circles back to that profound honor, but also the deep responsibility of being called a son or daughter of God.
And that this identity is lived out through actively pursuing peace, God's kind of peace.
And even when we feel discouraged, like Pam did, or face challenges.
We need to hear that message. You're not done yet. God still has a purpose for you.
Remembering that we genuinely matter to God, and he equips us to be his light, his beacon.
Right where we are, in this world that needs his peace so much.
So, maybe the thought to leave with everyone today is this. Considering everything we've talked about, you know, the incredible honor of being God's child, this call to be a light, how can we really intentionally start living out that identity? How do we become those people of character and quality Brother Steve described?
How do we actively pursue peacemaking in our daily interactions, large and small?
And truly reflect Christ's transformative love in a world that is just desperate for his peace. Something to really think about this week.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us for this exploration today.
We'll see you next time.